dear fellow redeemed. Perhaps it is redundant this soon after our Christmas break to be reminded of the fact that no prophet is honored in his own hometown. If you did not discover this passage to be true in your visit home over Christmas, then perhaps your vicarage site or your first call will prove to be your real home after all. In any case, I understand that the placement department has a ready interpretation of this passage available to those who receive calls miles removed from those that they requested, assuming that was close to home. As to Jesus' home congregation, it appears that the voters' assembly there objected to him for two reasons. First of all, he was by their estimation merely Joseph's son, apparently a messianic figure imported from Jerusalem whose biography would more easily facilitate myth-making would have made a better candidate. But this mundane, down-to-earth, homespun character would never afford later rabbis the occasion for demythologizing. Next, they seem to have objected that this miracle worker was shutting them out from some of the good stuff that he was allegedly handing out in other districts. Jesus knew what demands would have qualified their considering him. Physician, heal thyself. If you've healed in other countries, heal in your own also. The prophets of God today are still being told, physician, heal thyself. The modern American Christian pastor is made to feel inadequate, irrelevant, mediocre, mundane, if his church is not doing the dramatic things that are happening in other places. Physician, heal thyself. If you are really of God, really spiritual, a representative of real Christianity, then certainly God would be doing through you what he is doing in the third world mission field or the mega churches of America, or at the very least, what he is doing in the evangelistic throngs gathered under the gateway arch. Physician, perhaps you aren't totally committed to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you haven't put him first. Perhaps you haven't received the Holy Spirit in fullness and made him the Lord of your life. Sometimes the demands are simple and clear ones, faith, healing, tongues, speaking. But more often, the approach is subtle, sophisticated, white collar. Utilize the latest marketing techniques. The New Testament approach, of course, for church growth. Polish up your secular counseling skills so as to have a need-oriented ministry. Develop worship forms utilizing the best known communication skills, emotional appeal, social contagion, and contemporary music. Physician, heal yourself. And here's a how-to book that will help you. In the meantime, I'm going to find a church that meets my needs. Phenomena is not far removed from that of Jesus' encounter at Nazareth. Those who possess the word of the prophets of old often reject the prophets of their day if they do not produce the desired results. And our church, too, has often become hometown Christianity, and her prophets have become viewed as the natural sons of Joseph rather than the bearers of the supernatural word made flesh. In the tradition of the Jerusalem who killeth the prophets and stoneth those who are sent unto her, pastors are hired and fired on the basis of statistical success and sermonic style, or at the very least, are effectively defrocked in the minds of many members who casually decide that the grass is greener on the other side of the denominational fence. How did Jesus deal with this sort of evil and adulterous generation who seeks a sign, who calls him Joseph's son, and who demands miracles instead of the prophetic word? He came back with an argument from precedent. He reminded them of two prophets who, though they did perform selective miracles on Gentile turf, left the temporal needs of their Israeli constituencies largely untouched. Jesus' hermeneutic here couldn't nearly leave one with the impression that he assumed a consistency on the part of God's dealings with man, in which Old Testament narratives are advanced reflections of a reality operative in Jesus' ministry and the ministry of those who are his ambassadors since. Our argument from precedent will begin in Bethlehem, where in obscurity the King of the universe was born and immediately hated by the King of Judah and the chief priests and scribes of Jerusalem. Then later, even in Galilee, many lepers and lame were not healed, and many dead were not raised, and many psychological disorders were never counseled, and many social injustices were never lobbied against, and those who were healed eventually died. And finally, our precedent will have to take us to Jerusalem, where the King of Glory himself wept, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jerusalem, where the Son of God, anticlimactically in some views, bled and died. His most dramatic accomplishments, upon which some Christians today wish to sumptuously feed, are merely the hors d'oeuvres of an eternity in which there will be no more death, neither sorrow, neither sickness anymore. And his most ignoble and shameful activity, flesh mangled as a criminal's flesh, blood dripping as a slaughtered lamb's blood. This is the real feast, the feast of victory for all time and for all eternity, a victory hidden then under the defeat of the cross and hidden now under normal bread and wine. But perhaps not enough has been said here. Perhaps the technologized, mass-marketed, well-orchestrated hysteria of the popular American religious scene has been an unfairly easy opponent for the likes of the crucified one. Perhaps we are too easily the little boys who throw the rocks of orthodoxy but live in houses built by the glass of a theology of glory. It's going to take more than a few kegs and cuss words to quiet the pietist that speaks within all of us. I'm sure the thought has crossed your mind. A little better spiritual life would have made for a little better financial aid package. Going to chapel this morning will make me feel better this afternoon. God will reward my devotional time with efficient study time. But we all know who invented the lie that the kingdoms of this earth are gained by trusting angels to catch you. Yet there is a kingdom to be won, not by turning stones into bread or prayers into dollars or Bible verses into grades or worship into happiness or pastors into technicians, but rather by taking up one's cross and following Christ. Because this kingdom was won with a cross. Its king was coronated with thorns. Its enemy, death, was overcome by the king himself, dying. Its enemy, Satan, was destroyed amidst the darkness and mockery of his own folly. To see the battle, you'd never have guessed who the winner was. And Christ's victory was a victory that hid itself under an apparent defeat. And it still is. It still hides itself under crosses. In our struggle with sin, we have not yet seen the shedding of blood. But we all have crosses to bear as those who are in league with the crucified one. Where is your cross? Is it in that repeated nagging temptation? Is it in a nearly daily depression brought on by the accuser of the brethren? Is it in the socially uncomfortable tension that arises when you are called upon at work or at home to make your Christian confession clear in the face of opposition? Is it in the theological dishevelment that happens when elusive truths begin to cast out comfortable errors? Is it in the discord and disunity and mutual disregard sown among the brethren? Where is your cross? For there Christ is. Hiding under your apparent defeat is Christ's victory. Lazarus, come out. Demons, be gone. Son, take up your bed and walk. These are mere glimpses of that victory waiting to be revealed at the last day. Death will be swallowed up in victory, for Christ by death has trampled death underfoot. The tempter will be thrust into the lake of fire, for he is disarmed already. The accuser of the brethren will be cast down, for his flaming darts are quenched already. The enemies of the cross will kneel, for Jesus is Lord already. Discord and chaos will be abolished, for Christ is the head of all and has put all things under his feet and is Lord of all. The prince of this world is vanquished. This is the victory beneath our crosses. Physician, heal not thyself, for thou art whole. But know what it is to have your heel bruised by the serpent's already crushed head. And as St. Paul has said, know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. For no prophet is honored in his own town, and the light still shines in darkness, and the darkness still comprehends it not. But we shall honor him and be honored of him in the light of eternity. Amen.